Good morning. You have tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. Yes, we are here. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. My name is Jack Peterson, and I'm here once again for, is it possibly the last time for a little while that we...
Yeah.
Mr. Will Love is here.
Yeah. My other duties beckon.
So, mm-hmm. Starting next week?
Yeah, Monday. Teachers in the Lake Pondere School District report back. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here and being here at this desk all summer long. Most of the summer, it seems like you were sitting there on microphone number two.
Yes.
What do you got there?
Oh, I'm just
technical
trying to get,
troubles.
Yeah, okay. Just trying to get. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great to be here with you and mm-hmm. Chris, and you know stuff. That I've learned from both of you, I will take back and share and impart on my students.
So okay.
We've got future KRFY mm-hmm. radio hosts.
Yeah. Including some for CP at 3, we hope.
How long will this music go for? Because, I mean, it's bumping.
It is, yes. we can. I can turn it off, or we can kind of...
There we go.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a minute and a half left in the theme song if we need it. We're also joined by Max Oswald, who is the sports editor of the Bonner County Daily Bee, for a little fall sports preview, which we will be sure to get to. But it was after what seemed like a few quiet weeks, I would say this was a very busy week mm-hmm. in local news.
Yeah, it was, huh? Yes. I mean, not big news, mm-hmm. but a lot of little things that added up.
Yeah. I would say the top story is that County Board of Commissioners Chair Luke Ahmet has tendered his resignation. It will be effective September 7th. This was kind of long rumored, but was not confirmed until just this last, I think on the 20th was the meeting. Following the guidelines of what happens next, the Bonner County Republican Central Committee nominated three nominees, I suppose, to fill that seat, and the governor of the state, Brad Little, will determine who will fill that seat for the remainder of the term, which will just be through January 2025. Ahmet was not on the ballot, having lost the nomination, the Republican nomination to
Mr. Korn.
Was it? Is that right? Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Ron Korn. Yeah. So Korn will be filling out that seat before.
In all likelihood.
That's right. Ron Korn, Tom Cleveland, and Kim Peckham were the three nominees determined. But Cleveland and Peckham have both stated that they would prefer that Korn be the nominee. I don't imagine the governor is going to see any reason not to follow through with that request.
Yeah. There's, I think, 2 weeks on both ends to kind of determine, but I'm guessing that this will be a pretty...
Yeah.
Move quickly.
Probably so. Yeah. Luke Ahmet was a teacher at Sandpoint Middle School, and presumably he will be returning to that post, which would explain why he needs to be exiting his role as county commissioner in time for the school year to start.
Yes.
Yes, there was a, let's see, in the city, the city council unanimously approved the budget for fiscal year 2025, $50,499,054 is the budget for 2025. This is, I believe, a slight decrease from 2024, just a matter of a few million dollars. And the details of that, all the projects that you can expect to see the city working on are available online. Couple of new staff positions, including a manager for the James E. Russell Sports Complex, they'll be adding. And but nothing, I would say nothing too surprising in the budget. And obviously the council passed it unanimously without too much debate.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's potential tax
increase. That's right.
And so there's a lot. You know, the budget's in place, but then there's a lot of financial issues that are going to be discussed, I think, going forward.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this budget it's the budget. The budget has been approved, but right, there's still a lot of moving parts. A potential 1% tax to be a local option tax, and plus the kind of unknown, uncertain future of the wastewater treatment plant. What the funding options are there. The ongoing arson case, the fire that burned down the Army Navy store on Fifth Avenue here in Sandpoint, the suspect in that case has now had her competency hearing as of August, I think, 21st. And her competency has been determined to be significantly impaired. She will be transferred to the Department of Health and Welfare for at least 90 days, the State Department of Health and Welfare, up to 180 days before she will stand trial again to determine if she can be seen to be fit for trial or not. So there will be, we'll have at least 3 months before we hear more about that. If you've been down to City Beach lately, you may have been surprised to see that the Statue of Liberty was not there. The miniature Statue of Liberty, not the full-size version, which is out in New Jersey. The miniature one that stands at City Beach and is a popular photo spot was not vandals or anything like that. It was planned to be removed, and it is undergoing repairs right now.
Right. Now, they blamed it on kids jumping off of that. Now, I just wonder how many times Jack has climbed up on top of the Statue of Liberty to dive into the lake.
Yeah. I've never jumped off of the Statue of Liberty.
Okay, all right.
No, I have walked around the Statue of Liberty and jumped off the pier, but I've never climbed up the Statue of Liberty.
Good
to know. Now, it's only been there since like the early 2000s, is that right? So you would not have grown up with the Statue of Liberty in place.
No, okay. you could do a full run off that dock and not have to avoid the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, which I think would be the, as a recreational jumper into water, I think that might be preferred, but also maybe that's more dangerous.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. Extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And patriotic.
Yeah. back in July, a photo caught my eye in the Sandpoint Reader of the sheriff's boat, a marine patrol vessel that sunk in Garfield Bay. This was just it was unmanned at the time, and it was just moored at the dock, but that those waves coming up out of the south end of the lake can get pretty severe, and even those very rugged looking sheriff's vessels are susceptible to the weather. So it completely took on water and then capsized at the dock in Garfield Bay, and they took them a few days, it looks like, to actually get it out of the water. There's estimates for repairs or replacement coming soon. They're going to see what the damage was. The ongoing library boundary line saga seems to be drawing to a close. The East Bonner County Library, in a joint session with the West Bonner County Library trustees, have agreed to adjust the boundary lines to line up with the school district lines. It has been approved by both library boards. It's kind of a quirk going back to how the library was established before there actually was a separate school district. It lined up with the hospital board, but what had been happening was basically a lot of people from the Priest River area who primarily used the Priest River Library were in the East Bonner County Library taxing district, meaning that they were paying their taxes to a library that they weren't using, and the library that they were using was not getting the revenue that it would have expected. So that has now been resolved. The boundary line moves a little bit to the east, and everybody seems to be happy about that. on both sides. What else? There's a new proposal from the Idaho Club for a project at Trestle Creek, but I don't have that much to say about that other than look forward to hearing more about that in the future, to be sure. They've made proposals for construction there several times, and it's always a contentious issue. So this is their latest move in that direction.
To kind of jump back to West Bonner County,
yes.
The school district is voted to run a one-year $1.13 million levy that will be on the November 5th ballot.
Okay.
Kind of the interesting thing is that West Bonner County has not been able to pass a levy after several, times running it. And then in addition, they have cut this newest levy proposal back way back from our original $9.4 million two-year levy, then cut it to $4.68 million, and now they're asking for $1.13 million just fund some basic stuff, including extracurriculars and sports.
Yeah, which is perhaps a good point of it for us to depart and talk about sports and what's going on out there, and then what's going on in our here in the East Bonner County School District as well.
Now, Jack,
anything else? Yes, go ahead. What happened last night?
Went and fished the St. Mary River near Cranbrook. Had a wonderful time on there. But as we were coming back, it was about 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30 maybe. We saw school buses running, and my dad said, "Whoa, why is there a school bus running this late?" And I said, it is sports season, fall sports season. Mm-hmm. Even though we're still in August, things are getting underway. And so, Max, first off, what are some events that are happening right now on the sporting calendar?
Yeah, today it's Sandpoint at home versus Twin Falls. They actually finished back-to-back in the Max Preps rankings last year. So it's going to be a good game at home, 7 o'clock, War Memorial Field. You also got volleyball in action today. That'll be at Lake City, also at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, tomorrow we got boys and girls soccer both in action. Girls play a Saturday night 7 o'clock game. Boys are at 1 in the afternoon. And then you also have cross country at the Post Falls River Run. So at least five of the sports in action over these next 2 days. Going to be pretty fun.
Now, one of the things is, just kind of thinking about this, and obviously I teach and coach at Sandpoint High School, so I'm kind of aware of this, but the fall is usually a pretty good sports season for the Bulldogs. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from cross country to now football being a powerhouse. Of course, volleyball in years past has been a powerhouse. I mean, yeah, lots of exciting stuff. Girls soccer winning a state title last year. Girls swimming winning a state title last year. Boys soccer made the state championship, fell to Wood River. There's a lot to be excited about. Also, the biggest season out of all season in terms of sports between Clark Fork and Sandpoint. Got 9 teams to follow, I think, in the winter. It's about 6 now, and then spring's also about 6 to 7. So, yeah, lots of fall sports on the horizon.
When does the fall sports season officially start?
Today. Okay. Well, I mean, technically, it started on the 14th with golf. Golf always starts early, so they've had 2 meets already, but so far that's been the only 2 things that have happened so far in the fall sports season.
Is there when can they start to practice? Is there a cutoff? The state prohibits you from holding practices earlier in the year than a certain point. Is that right?
Yeah, officially, there's a full week before official games are going to start. And I forget when that started this year, but I know teams are always meeting up at open gyms and open plays well before that, mostly in late July. They're getting started. There's always optional workouts and things where everyone just happens to meet up at a spot. You know, used to do that in cross country all the time in the summer. And
the captain's practices, sort of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're optional, but, you know, really, are they?
Right, yes. Optional means mandatory. But, yeah.
Yeah, just so you know, Jack, in Idaho, and this is different from state to state, there really isn't a limit on how much a high school coach can interact with their potential players in the summer. So, you know, when you look at, say, like football, and I'm going to ask Max about explaining kind of the 0 week scenario in just a second. But, you know, there is a week at the beginning of August, which is a dead week where we're not allowed to participate or organize a lot of things. But anyway, you know, prior to that, if you went down to the high school, you would see most of the football program out there, you know, in pads, lifting and stuff like that. So, so they've really since kind of July been getting prepared for today.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, this is what's known as a 0 week game. So Max, can you kind of explain what that is and why Sandpoint has a 0 week game?
So 0 week game is the opening game for some teams. Yeah, I think you're allowed to play up to 9 football games in a season. A lot of teams do 8, but you can do 9, which is why I believe it's called a week zero. And usually for week zero, you're going to face a non-conference opponent. That's either, you know, it could be anything, you know, evenly matched, maybe a bit of a stretch for some teams, but like to face someone from far away. And that's kind of how we got Twin Falls. I know it was, you know, we were playing around with thinking of it being Pocatello, which we will be facing week 5, I believe, at a neutral site location. And I believe it's going to be at Montana Tech. But yeah, kind of that week zero game ended up being Twin Falls. And, you know, I'm not sure how long the drive is, but I'm sure they stayed here overnight. That's for sure. Maybe not, though.
Yeah. No, it's Twin Falls is about a 10-hour drive.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You'd think they'd stay.
Stay now, overnight. What does Coach Knowles think about the football team this year? Because I know that there's probably going to be several thousand people at tonight's game, and they're wondering, what's this year's team going to look like?
Yeah, high hopes for sure. Drew Lehman's going to be starting quarterback this year. He kind of came in last year, week 3. Hunter Garcia got injured. Lehman was playing wide out, and he has a lot of former quarterback experience. They're like, he kind of told me the other day, he's like, well, you know, I was kind of the only one that had the knowledge to do it, so just kind of went in there and did it. And yeah, now he's named top 10 quarterback in the state by IdahoSports.com recently. He was last year's offensive MVP for the Inland Empire League. 1,545 yards, 12 passing touchdowns. Also had 3 rushing touchdowns, over about 200 yards of rushing. And that's all with Sandpoint being a very run-heavy offense in itself. So he's impressive. He returns. You got North Idaho Male Athlete of the Year, Jesse Turner, returning at wideout. You got 6 first-team all-league selections. The defense is looking really stacked. You got 3 out of the 5 offensive linemen returning, 2 of which were all-league first-team selections, Tristan Tomko, Caden Garcia. I mean, yeah, it's really high hopes this year. We were just ranked in the preseason media poll 3rd in the 5A classification, just behind Skyline and Bishop Kelly.
Can I ask? Okay, I like to be the guy who doesn't really know anything about high school sports when I'm in the room with you two. You mentioned that Sandpoint has sort of a run heavy, it leans on it and its rushing game more than its passing, I guess. Is that something that is that like a coaching style thing, or is it like, I mean, if a really gifted quarterback or receiver should just happen to come along in Sandpoint, could that game shift, or is this sort of the coach's style that determines that?
That's kind of the beauty of it. So a lot of teams in high school are actually very run heavy due to the fact that not a lot of quarterbacks are at that level.
Yeah.
Not to where you can't trust them, but, you know, they're just not that high of a level. But thankfully, you know, Sandpoint hasn't had too much trouble in that department, which makes their offense so much more, you know, dynamic and versatile. And they can do a lot of things, you know. You know, me personally, I'm hoping to see a lot of play action this year. I think that can work to their advantage. And, yeah, you know, we got Cody Brewster was an all-state selection, Max Frank, and all. He had probably half of Sandpoint's total yards last year, and they're both gone. But, you know, there's 3 running backs. They're going to rotate in and out. It's going to be Weston Smith, Jeremiah Palmer, and the the primary is going to be Ashley Hawkins at 5'6". He's up to 150 pounds now. He's quite speedy. And Knowles actually told me he thinks they're going to take a step up in the running department this year. So, yeah, okay. It could be a really good year for Sandpoint football. I'm excited.
Very exciting. Okay.
So let's kind of transition to the other football, if you will. We've got a longtime, very successful coach decided to take some time off in Connor Baranski. And so, but I know that the girls' soccer program has a lot of returning talent and probably some new talent as well. So kind of tell us about their chances to repeat as state champions.
Really high chances, probably the highest chances out of any Sandpoint Falls sports team to repeat titles. And a really cool fact is that assistant coach for the girls' soccer team, also assistant coach for the girls' basketball team, Maddie Schoening, she was on the team in 2013 and 2014 under head coach Connor Baranski, and that is the last time Sandpoint won back-to-back girls' soccer state titles. So that's kind of, you know, foreshadowing of what's maybe to come. 13-14, 23-24, I don't know, kind of thought that was cool.
That's almost a conspiracy theory right there.
So you got a lot of returners. You got one of the, I would probably, you know, me personally, I think she's the best goalkeeper in the entire state, and that's actually first-year head coach Alan Brinkmeyer's daughter, Liliana Brinkmeyer. Alan's been with the program for about 15 years now, and she's phenomenal. Second, All-State second team, All-League first team goalkeeper, and she had a, you know, I was talking to her, and I was like, yeah, you had so many clutch saves last year. She's like, oh, I'm gonna make some more. Don't worry. So it's fun having...
Not lacking confidence then.
No. Yeah. I think the whole team is really confident. I think that's a good thing. I mean, you got the entire back five returning this year, all four defenders, and all of which were all-league... either all-league, all-state selections, honorable mentions of some sort. And, you know, Ava Glahey on that list is a junior. She was one of those. She was an all-state honorable mention, all-league first team. She actually plays with Liliana on the Thorns North FC in Coeur d'Alene, and they just won a national championship in Wichita, Kansas, this past summer. Them two together, so pretty cool. Those are two players definitely to watch. The whole team is really to watch this year. Watch out for,
yeah.
Every player.
Now, the boys were pretty close to winning a state title last year. Just fell a little bit short. What are the prospects for them? Because don't they have a new coach as well?
Yep, it's going to be Dan Anderson, a 2010 alum, and he has a ton of experience coaching and playing himself at Sandpoint High. He was the assistant coach for 5 years before that. Also got some name that I was told a lot of Sandpoint people will be familiar with. Of course, he was here before my time. 2003 graduate, I believe, Halvor Mikkelsen. Mm-hmm. He played professionally in Norway. He's going to be a volunteer assistant this year. 2022 graduate Tyler Bangle is on the coaching staff. He played at NIC. And then Anthony Fox, who graduated Sandpoint 2013, will be the varsity assistant this year, formerly the JV head coach. They got quite the coaching staff, all Sandpoint grads. Coach Dan Anderson was telling me how important he thinks that is. You know, he knows what this program expects out of the coaches and the athletes, and they're going to live up to that. You got a pretty young team this year. Only about three seniors going to be in that starting 11. And that's going to be Henry Barnes. And boy, you know, my mind's going blank right now.
It's all right. You've already mentioned a lot of names. So
I know Henry Barnes, Connor McClure are going to be two of them. And my mind's totally blanking right now. But they're going to be really good. Lots of juniors, couple of freshmen. You got, I'm told the freshmen to watch out for are Gus Penrose and Pax Longenecker, brother of Kai Longenecker and Jet Longenecker, who's currently playing at the College of Idaho.
Okay. What other fall sports are there?
Oh boy.
We mentioned, okay, we got football, soccer.
Let's go. Your sport.
Swimming.
Swimming.
Swimming is a fall sport here. Yeah. That's right.
Swimming. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So swimming doesn't start the season till a bit later. So their first meet will be about September 7th at the Croc Center. Or actually, I think it's the University of Idaho they're starting at this year.
Ooh.
So girls won the state title last year by about 13 points over Bishop Kelly. I think it was 186 to 173. And they basically return everyone. Sarah Hogue graduated, but the girls team returns every contributor from last season, most of which scored in four different events at the state championship. So they only have about 10, 12 girls on the team, but they're just all really that good. And I know seniors Riley Bammer, Ava DeLue, two to really watch out for, sophomore Raina Mantecki, junior Mia Driggs, all very, very good. And they have a really good, they probably have just as good of a shot as girls soccer does. And Bishop Kelly, I believe, is no longer in the same classification for swimming. So that kind of, you know, also gives them a little bit more confidence. Yeah, exciting for girls swim. But on the boys' side as well, they're really excited about the next couple of years. Not just this year, but the next couple of years for boys swimming. Have junior Kale Wright, junior Mikhail Jensen, McCoy Jensen, Kai Levitt. They'll be really good. I know Kale's a captain this year. And they also got freshmen like Lou Faust coming in this year. He's very, very good. He was 10th at the Long Bridge swim overall out of close to 700 swimmers. Bodie Demons also giving me another freshman to watch out for. Yeah, excited about boys swimming this year. They got 5th at the state championship last year and 2nd at districts. And from what Kale tells me, they're really excited about this year's chances of contending for a state title, and he thinks their 200, I believe it was either 200 or 400, I think it was 200 freestyle relay has a chance at breaking the state record. So,
Here's a question, another layman's question. They swim at the YMCA, the pool. They use the pool at the Sandpoint YMCA, the Lighthouse YMCA out on Pine Street. Will be that building has not been there for all that long. Was there no swim team before there was before the YMCA?
Right.
Went in?
There was not a swim team.
Huh.
Okay. When I went to high school, and then swim hadn't been sanctioned till
right.
By the state until just a couple of years ago. So it's actually
wow. Okay.
In regard to, you know, Sandpoint's had a swim team for a long time, and they had it's a lot like baseball is that, you know, schools would have a baseball team, a swim team, but basically the coaches association would organize a state tournament. The Idaho High School Activities Association did not sanction that. And so it wasn't, I guess, what you would say, like an official sport.
Yeah.
But you know, it kind of blurred the lines. And so, you know, kind of an interesting, you know, point. And I think this is where, you know, a sport that has kind of gained ground over the years in the state of Idaho is lacrosse. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same thing. Although Sandpoint High does not have a team, a lacrosse team, it's a club program, but you know, eventually I could see that being kind of like one of the next sports that the state starts to sanction. So,
yeah,
a little bit confusing there. But now baseball is going to be sanctioned by the state and swimming just a few years ago. But like when I went to school, yeah, it was more of a club thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Like if you look at old Daily Beast sports previews from Mark Nelke, there were some swimmers in there, but it was very small.
Yeah.
And, I think the head coach, Greg Jackson, I think he graduated 2000 or somewhere around there, but you know, he did swimming back then and all that. I think he swam at Linfield as well.
Okay. We may go long today, folks, by the way.
Right, because we still have...
There's more to talk about,
And Coach DePreez would be mad at me if I didn't
give
you time to talk about the golf team.
Golf's exciting this year. I mean, girls third last year behind Twin Falls and Bishop Kelly, but I mean, this year is the year for Sandpoint girls golf, and last time they won it is when CeCe DePreez, Coach Mike's daughter, was on the team. That was 2021. They kind of built up this little pod, you know, Coach DePreez calls it over the year, and it's 5 seniors, you know, they've all been on the team for a number of years, and he built them up into what they are today. So he told me he kind of built it around Taylor Meyer originally, who's on the girls' basketball team as well. And they have 5 seniors, 5 really good golfers, best chance since 2021 to win that state title. Alexa Toonstra has been off. She's on a roll to start the season. She had a 2-over par 74 at the Meadowood Golf Course, and that's in Liberty Lake, Washington. And then just this past week, she had a even par 73 at the Highlands Golf Course in Post Falls, and that is phenomenal. She won both of the invitationals, and I think Taylor was right up there, second at the one and third at the other, and she's just a couple strokes behind. They're really good. And then Reagan Samuels, Claire Lautzenheiser, and Demi Driggs also on the girls' basketball team. Sorry, I keep saying that. Will's right.
It's all
here.
Right.
I'm wearing a basketball shirt. He is too. Yeah. So.
Well, we love the multi-sport athletes. So, you know, just on this, when it comes to kind of winning a state title, I mean, obviously you need to have those really good golfers, and, mm-hmm. and usually a state title team has a kid that finishes in the top five.
Yeah.
But how important is like golfers 4 and 5 when it comes to a state title?
Oh, yeah. You know, so the top four will count towards the score in golf, but there's always five that go out, and that five, you know, can get into the top four, whatever the scores are, you know. And it's really important, you know, Dupree has said a number of years, you know, don't just want to have that number one and two golfer really good. Like, it really matters where your 3 and 4 are at, and Sandpoint's 3 and 4 are really good. So, They'll probably, you know, in my personal opinion, they'll finish all in the top 20 this year at least, and I think that's going to be what propels them to the state title. With the way Alexa's playing, with the way Taylor was fourth last year at the state championship. If those two are in the top five, I mean, great chances, really great chances.
Hmm. Now, golf used to be a spring sport,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, as you can imagine, golf in the spring in Sandpoint was very difficult. Most of the practices were indoors, in barns,
yep,
on top, you know, in mezzanines,
uh-huh.
stuff like that. And so, you know, the scores would be relatively high, but now that they've changed it to the fall, you're seeing like these a lot lower scores, right?
Yeah. At least that's what it feels like to me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the scores this year. I'm like, whoa, we got a 322 for the team score. I mean, we're only like 10 strokes behind Coeur d'Alene right now. I mean, that's also a testament to how hard the girls have been working in the off season. But yeah, scores definitely seem a bit lower.
What's a high school golf match look like? Do the five girls play together? Are they like a fivesome grouped up together, or do they pair up with the other teams, or how does that?
Yeah. Yep. So they'll pair up with the other team's number ones, and then they'll tee off. Usually it's staggered about 20, 15 minutes. Everyone's staggered starts. So it'll be like 9 o'clock, 9:20, 9:40, 10 o'clock, 10:20. Mm-hmm. Usually how it is, something like that. So that's how that works. And every team, you know, in the Inland Empire League, all classifications will host a sort of invitational, if you'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how they do all the meets. You know, when you're in more highly populated areas, like where I'm from, you have a dual match, and those dual matches are almost like every day. You got 15 schools and you have like, you don't really have any invitationals. You got 14 other schools to face in the county, and all 14 of your matches are those 14 other schools for the year.
Yeah.
So it works a little differently depending how the populations are.
Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting. And everybody has to carry their own bags, I assume?
You know, I don't know that, but I'm assuming.
No carts, yeah.
No carts,
yeah.
You have to carry your bags.
Yeah. PGA rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Volleyball.
Sure. Volleyball.
Let's talk volleyball.
Okay.
Sandpoint volleyball. Got second-year head coach Piper Wallin now. She was a 2010 graduate, former standout at Sandpoint and Weber State. And Weber State's actually picked to win the Big Sky this year, fun fact. But they're looking good, I personally think so. We got 6 juniors, I believe it's 3 seniors, and a sophomore on the team this year, so just 10. Only 8 players currently healthy, which I know Coach Wallin was a little concerned about, but she kind of just said, you know, it is what it is, and I'm sure other teams are going through similar struggles. And I think one of her end quotes in the story I had today was, we're going to keep showing up. We're going to keep fighting as hard as we can. And, you know, we're going to be on the court every day. You got Audrey Petruso, senior. She's going to be libero this year. She was a starter last year as well. Had a team high 131 digs. She's definitely someone to watch out for. Got senior Callie Bailey, who's going to move into the setter role this year with the graduation of Haley Swaim, who was a phenomenal setter for Sandpoint. They had a lot of seniors graduate. Well, as Aubrey Lane graduated. She's playing at Spokane Community College now. So kind of filling in for her will be junior, maybe you know how to pronounce her name, Will. Belen Gonzalez, junior.
Yeah, I've maybe, never had her in class.
Never so had her, okay. I think it's Belen, and she's going to be really good. She was third on the team in kills last year as a sophomore. You also got Aubrey's sister, Marley Lane, who's the lone sophomore, and she's definitely going to be someone to watch out for. Junior Hazel Pierce as well, I'm told is going to be very good in the middle. So should be an interesting year for Sandpoint Volleyball.
All right. Quick rundown on Clark Fork Sports.
Yeah, sure. Clark Fork, only 11 players this year for the football team. They graduated 8 seniors, all of whom were very big contributors. So could be more of a rough year, but, you know, you got a sophomore quarterback in Mateo Cruz. He's about 6'3", 200, pretty big for 8-man football. He's a really phenomenal athlete. And you got senior Everett Montgomery. He's the lone returning senior. And he was a North Star League first team selection. Had at least 8 interceptions last year that I know of. And he'll have over 1,000 total yards this year. He also got a transfer from Sandpoint, Peyton Chapman. He'll be a sophomore. He's going to be playing over there. And yeah, coach kind of told me they're going to have to know how to play multiple positions. They're going to be rotating different players out of running back. He told me our quarterback's going to be playing center for some snaps. So that's how we're going to be doing things. So it's pretty interesting.
Have you ever watched 8-man football?
No, I have not. Makes me very interested. I would I might have to. Yeah.
If you ever get an opportunity to watch 8-man football, it's fun to watch. I mean, in Montana, they actually play some six-man football. So, yeah.
Well, okay.
And then the volleyball program at Clark Fork.
Mm-hmm. So, Lindsay Kiebert-Carey, she graduated Clark Fork 2014. She's heading the team again this year, along with Tracy Anderson Olson, who graduated from Sandpoint, I think, in 83, part of those really big volleyball teams. Some great coaching out there. Again, kind of going to be an interesting year for Clark Fork volleyball. They kind of, instead of facing Mullen and Kootenai, who they do have on the schedule, the North Star League kind of looks like Lakeside, Wallace, Genesis Prep, and Quarter Christ even moves in there. So the schedule looks a little bit different for them, and it's going to be a lot harder in the league. Wallace and Lakeside historically have pretty good volleyball programs, especially Wallace. And you got 2 juniors, Aurora Lane and Piper Scarlett, who are going to be relied on a lot, as well as a senior, Rebecca Holloman. So, yeah, you know, Clark Fork has a history. You know, their history is winning, you know, Clark Fork volleyball. They were about 8-10 last year, so that was the first time in a bit that they didn't have a winning record, but looking to turn things around this year.
Perfect. And then Priest River is full go.
Priest River's full go that I know of. Girls soccer, boys soccer, and football. They have a full varsity schedule this year for football. They're facing about half Washington teams, sort of like Medical Lake, sort of in that league, maybe Colville. And cross country, I mean, they didn't have a head coach last time I knew of or heard of, but they are set to have cross country as well this year, which I kind of want to talk about Sandpoint cross country. Got to throw them in there. And we got Paul Kent, junior for Sandpoint. He's going to lead the boys team. 2-time state medalist this past year in track, and he ran a 16:28 for his personal record last year. He's going to smash that this year. He's going to be top 5 in the state, you know, my personal opinion. He said he thinks he's going to win it all. I think that's really, really possible.
Paul's a confident young man.
Yes, and he should be. He showed me his mile. You know, I'm a former runner myself. I in college, we got up to around 100 miles a week. He's already doing 60 here in high school. I never got even close to that in high school. So he's putting in the work, and he's fun to talk to, confident, ready to go. I mean, yeah, I got to give him props for his hard work, because a lot of that senior class that graduated had that, And once they kind of leave, you know, sometimes that can be hard to, you know, keep up with that mentality of like working hard, but he's sticking to it. I'm excited about his chances, and boys are looking for their 12th straight district title this year.
Mm-hmm. There's a question from the audience here.
Oh, okay.
Do you know anything about the James E. Russell Sports Complex? Any developments there? Have you been talking to anybody at the city about that or anything like that? What's going to happen? What and when is going to happen at the sports complex out at Traverse Park?
No, I mean, personally, we've had another reporter covering that mm-hmm. beat, so I haven't been too invested in it. I know it looks like it's almost at least at completion.
Sure looks like it, yeah, so, from the outside.
Mm-hmm. That's really about all I know. I drive by it a lot, okay. and I see them working on it, so.
Yeah. Okay, hey, go ahead.
Okay, can I kind of shift gears here real quick?
Yes.
Just to ask, and you didn't know about this, so I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
But before you became an awesome sports reporter, all right, you worked in the political sphere.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of ask you, and this was at the national level. we've gone through the Republican National Convention, the Democratic National Convention. What are kind of your thoughts as somebody that worked in that world for a little while?
My thoughts is that it's all a mess, really. But I mean, that's kind of, I kind of haven't been, you know, honestly, after I left, I was only in for about a year, and I kind of left the role that I was in. And,
can you tell us what that role was?
Yeah, for sure. I guess you would call it a basic political consultant, was doing things for a gubernatorial candidate in Pennsylvania, and that kind of shifted into the national role. I was doing things with, I guess it would be former now presidential candidate for this year. His name is Vivek Ramaswamy, really nice guy. And just kind of doing, you know, some behind the scenes work. Didn't really have my face out there, but you know, I was attending events and stuff and Iowa, Florida, a little bit of that. So it was fun doing that for a really small amount of time, but you find quickly that politics takes a really special person to work in. And I wasn't that person. And I went to school for sports communication and all, but yeah, if I had to sum it up, it's kind of a mess right now, and I don't really pay attention to too much anymore, you know.
Probably healthier. We talked about what's going on out in Priest River sports wise. They're full go. Their fundraising efforts, therefore, must have been successful because they were. I mean, they. We were talking a little earlier. They've got a levy coming up, but all the previous levies have failed, or most of the previous levies that they've tried to pass have failed. So they're at a real funding shortfall out that way. Did they meet their goal, exceed their goal, or what? How did things work out for Priest River Sports?
On the sports and extracurricular side, I believe they're pretty close to meeting the goal. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, they did have a donor matching up to, I believe, $75,000. So anonymous donor. I have no idea who it is, but a mm-hmm. Very generous thing to do for the Priest River community. And yeah, I'm blanking on what the goal was, but they are full go. I know the football team was looking for some extra support in terms of getting the proper helmets and equipment, you know, mm-hmm. necessary for safety standards and all that. But I think they have a lot of guys out for the football team this year. And, you know, last year they only had one senior on the team when they were kind of playing JV and football or JV and varsity football teams. And yeah, it could be a kind of surprise year for Priest River. They were actually picked ahead of, I believe it was Orofino in the coaches poll that just came out for the Intermountain League. So yeah. They did go 4-1 in who they did play last year, so exciting.
Okay. Your thoughts on the recent Olympic Games, Max? Any reaction?
You know, I was watching some of it when I could. I was actually not as busy a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, so man, I was watching like the badminton gold medal match, and I mean that stuff's crazy. I was watching the Sweden Chinese players and the table tennis gold medal match. I mean, wow. I mean, this stuff is just bizarre. Mm-hmm. How good these people are. And I watched like trap shooting. Got this, I think it was a lady from Guatemala, and she got like 49 out of 50 shots. It was like Olympic record. I'm like, whoa, this. It's always fun to like tune into sports like that. And what's it called, eventing, which is kind of like, I wrote an article about eventing a couple weeks ago on a Bonner's Ferry High junior that's going to be eventing, and that's sort of like a triathlon of equestrian events and whatnot. And it's like dressage, cross country, and show jumping, and you're scored on those by judges and other things. And dressage is like horse ballet and all that. I know they had that. I saw that on the Olympics, and just kind of putting that connection together was cool. Yeah, we got a Bonner's Ferry High junior, Emma Roberts, very, very good. She's also a girls wrestler for the Badgers.
Well, okay. The fall sports preview is on newsstands as of today.
Yep.
Okay.
9,289 words, 229 faces identified.
But who's counting?
Just me, okay. Probably.
You have right now, the big is this kind of your big issue, like, of the year? Fall sports preview? Because this is
the biggest that I've ever done. 10 okay. pages. I think the spring sports was 8 pages. And for the first time, so I've done in paper winter sports previews, but for the first time ever, the Daily Bee will have a winter sports preview. That's its own section starting this year.
Well, okay. But fall is the big one, and it is available right now, and available only today, I suppose, right? It's in today's paper, and that's it? Or does it go out again?
No, just in today's paper, and I believe it's on, you know, select racks around. I'm not sure where they even have them at, but I know there's some at the high schools. There's like 100 of them probably in other places.
You could probably stop by the Daily Bee office.
You might
have a few around there.
Definitely got at least 100 extra at the Daily Bee office. Okay. Got a lot of faces in there, so you never know how many you need.
Okay. Let's see. At 9 o'clock, by the way, the second hour of Democracy Now! Is coverage of the Democratic National Convention continues. This will be the last two-hour program from them that we air this year, presumably. So that is coming up at 9. Will, it's your last show for at least a little while.
Yes.
Any great wisdom for us? Closing thoughts?
Well, you know, I just appreciate that, one, I appreciate KRFY, and two, that that you and Chris put a lot of time into this, and the rest of the people behind the scenes allow this to happen, because I think it's something that's pretty unique these days, and I think helpful, and so hopefully people have enjoyed and will enjoy listening to it in the future. It's fun to be able to talk with the local journalists and get their take on things, and so as a former journalist, I appreciate having this opportunity to kind of talk to them and review the big stories over the week.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun, and the journalists, including Max, so generous with their time. Max is here as a volunteer, well, as are we all, but you know, you can support his work by checking out today's Daily Bee and the great big fall sports preview on newsstands right now.
And so my advice would be to support local journalism.
Indeed.
I think, you know, Sandpoint, again, is in a kind of a unique situation where we've got two newspapers, you know, a daily and a weekly, and that, you know, they, especially it seems like the last two years have really done a good job covering all aspects of Bonner County.
I got one more thing to say about broadcasting as a whole, too.
Okay.
So starting this year,
uh-huh.
a sports broadcasting club is going to be started at the high school, and I believe Travis Garrison, who graduated from Sandpoint, is going to be heading that. So anyone interested in sports broadcasting at the high school could be a good opportunity to learn some things, and I'm planning to help volunteer some of my time to, because I originally actually did a lot of sports broadcasting. So
cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Cool tidbit.
That's great. Well, I'm going to ask more about that off the air, I think. Did you do any color commentary, or were you the play-by-play?
Only color, really. We had when I was in college, we had an extremely talented play-by-play commentator who now works for Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And they're the 16 seed that won a couple of games in March Madness. So mm-hmm. he was actually at those games. Pretty cool. Love having those connections. And yeah, so I did color with him.
Yeah.
It was a great couple of years.
I admire the play-by-play guys so much. That's such a skill that mm-hmm. I can't touch that. They're pretty good. Anyway, let's leave it there, huh? Max Oswald from the Daily B, sports editor with the Fall Sports Preview available right now. Will Love, a generous volunteer as well as high school girls basketball coach and teacher at Sandpoint High School, about to begin his other career for the year.
Yeah.
And we'll turn it over to Democracy Now! At 9 o'clock, and then regular scheduled programming continuing throughout the day after that. Thanks for listening to Panhandle Community Radio, 88.5 KRFY.